So we've talked about all kinds of different hidden forces in our lives, and that needs to include how we get around. In 2023, the U.S. Census estimated that around 70% of U.S. workers commuted by car, in places like Phoenix, Arizona.
You know, 25 miles each way, hour and a half in traffic.
Ignacio Delgadillo used to spend a lot of time in his car because Phoenix is one of the least walkable cities in the United States. Its sprawling suburbs and wide streets are great for cars, not so much for pedestrians.
We really didn't talk to our neighbors. We don't really know. Like, we say hi and bye as we're driving by, right? And then we just all go in straight into our garage.
But about a year ago, Ignacio and his family moved to a community designed to be car-free, Cul-de-Sac, in Tempe, Arizona. Here, the streets are built for foot traffic. Buildings are close together. Trees line narrow walkways. A plaza with shops and restaurants serves as a town square.
You naturally see people all day, like, doing what they're doing, right? They're going to work, they're going to school, or they're just out enjoying their walk.
However much of a driving or car-dependent city you may happen to be in, there's a certain number of people who, when presented with the opportunity, will live car-free, and that market is completely unmet.
This is urban planner Jeff Speck. We talked to Jeff last year about his lifelong goal to make American cities more walkable. And he says that Cul-de-Sac Tempe is a great example of how neighborhoods can be transformed, and that the benefits go well beyond just meeting your neighbors.
Traffic safety, community identity, tourism, stormwater management, transit effectiveness, urban competitiveness. It reduces obesity, other chronic diseases, healthcare costs, crime, traffic congestion, maintenance costs, fossil fuel dependence.
But he also says making cities more walkable takes very careful planning, with seemingly invisible design choices that prioritize the needs of people over the needs of cars.
What that means at a deeper level is to create an environment in which people will make the choice to walk or to bike or to use some other form of micromobility rather than driving. And to do that, according to my general theory of walkability, the walk has to satisfy four basic criteria. It needs to be useful, it needs to be safe, it needs to be comfortable, and it needs to be interesting. And each one of those criteria then places upon us a series of mandates that surround urban design and city planning, my profession, to create that environment for the potential pedestrian or cyclist.
Okay, so to be walkable, a city needs to do those four things. They need these attributes for every walk a person takes. Let's start with the first. The walk needs to be useful. What do you mean by that?
So useful has to do with the proper mix of uses, so places to live, work, shop, recreate, all within walking distance. It typically means more housing in your downtown, which would balance the uses in your downtown and have it be active around the clock. When a neighborhood, which is principally a business district, becomes a truly mixed-use district with the proper balance of jobs and housing, it comes to life.
Okay, so we've made our city, we've made our walk useful. Now we need to make walking safe. How?
So the typical American street is designed for speeds well over the posted limit. And that's the exact opposite of what they do in the Netherlands, for example, where you make the streets as tight as they need to be to cause the drivers to go the speed that is safe for the community. The resistance that you find to accomplishing this typically lies in public works departments and engineering departments, which are led by engineers who still embrace the older concept of traffic safety, which in America grew out of highway safety. So if you think about yourself when you're driving on a highway where your speed is a constant, anything you can do to reduce opportunities for conflict, to increase elbow room, is going to make that street safer. So wider lanes, one-way traffic, no parallel parking, no trees, that's the clear zone, big swooping curves, all those things make a highway safer. But it's precisely the opposite that makes a downtown safe. You want to have narrow lanes, you want to have parallel parking, you want to have two-way traffic, you want to have lots of intersections and lots of other things going on. And so the biggest impediment often in cities to making them safe and comfortable to walk around is a traffic engineer who is trained on highway design and has brought it into city design.
Okay, our walk is useful, our walk is safe. How do we make it, number three, comfortable for walking?
Comfortable is the most designy aspect of the discussion because, and it's a little counterintuitive, we like to be in places that have spatial definition. If you can picture Lower Manhattan or, you know, the cranky parts of our oldest cities, those have the smallest blocks of all. And that gets us into the comfortable walk and that delightful feeling of being embraced by buildings on both sides.
Yeah.
So that idea of spatial definition is central to making walkable places. And we, you know, our favorite streets tend to be quite narrow. And then the buildings aren't that tall, but they're considerably taller than the streets are wide.
And that brings us to the fourth and final principle of making a city walkable, which is that the walk needs to be interesting.
Yeah. So the final category of interesting is basically not having blank walls, not having parking structures, having lots of eyes on the street in the form of doors and windows and signs of human activity. You know, we humans are among the social primates. Nothing interests us more than other humans. And that's what causes us to walk.
So when you arrive at a city to work with them, do you find that you need to first sort of change their cultural outlook on how to provide the best thing for their citizens? Is there a mind shift that you have to get them to do before you actually start talking about the details?
Well, I think what's different now as opposed to 10 years ago or even certainly 30 years ago when I started doing this work is that there's now an openness within public works departments and engineering departments to this information. And the thing that has evolved the fastest is bicycle infrastructure. And when we're building new projects now, we're mandated by the city to not have the bike lane in the street. The new standard is to put it up on the sidewalk edge.
I mean, you're speaking to number two, a safe walk or a safe ride in this case on a bicycle. But we've been hearing so many headlines about the rise in pedestrian and, I believe, biker deaths. Mm-hmm. So if more cities are becoming more welcoming to walking and riding bikes, why is this happening?
So more cities are getting more serious about improving pedestrian safety, but that's really just starting to kick in at volume now. And it used to be that, you know, the poor people lived in the inner city and the wealthy people were suburbanizing. Now, many more of America's poor are living further and further from the city center in order to afford a mortgage. That's where a lot of people are stuck now. And sadly, they're stuck there without cars, many of them. Mm-hmm. So you have kind of the double whammy of people living without cars in an environment that was designed without ever imagining people living there using it without cars. And I should say, when I joined this movement in the 80s, I really thought we could stop sprawl. I've pretty much given up on that goal after 40 years. But I've replaced it with a new goal, which is essentially to offer the walkable quality of life, you know, the walking lifestyle to as many more Americans as possible. And that's why, you know, I'm going where the people are and doing much more downtown work. And most of my work is for cities who call me in and say, you know, we realize that we could be so much better if we made our downtown more walkable. And what are the steps to getting there?
That was urban planner Jeff Speck. He's the author of Walkable City, How Downtown Can Save America One Step at a Time. You can watch his TED Talks at TED.com and hear more from Jeff in our episode, A More Walkable World. Thank you so much for listening to our show. This episode was produced by Hersha Nahada, Rachel Faulkner-White, Katie Monteleone, and Kai McNamee. It was edited by Sanaz Meshkinpour, Katie Monteleone, and me. Our production staff at NPR also includes James Delahoussaye, Fiona Guerin, and Matthew Cloutier. Our executive producer is Irene Noguchi. Our audio engineers were Gilly Moon, Becky Brown, Jimmy Keeley, and Simon Jensen. Our theme music was written by Ramtin Arablouei. Our partners at TED are Chris Anderson, Roxanne Highlash, Alejandra Salazar, and Daniela Balarezzo. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you've been listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR.